Great to have your company on this Tuesday edition of Racing Pulse. Usually we would be live from Flemington because it would be breakfast with the stars. And unfortunately, we can't be there and the public can't be there, but the stars are still there. And a number of Danny O'Brien's big cup week contenders have been at track work this morning. Unfortunately, young Werther is not one of them. Danny, good morning to you.
Morning, Michael.
You've seemed quite content, quite, I suppose, resigned to the fact that the scan means that young Werther misses out on a Melbourne Cup. You've taken a pretty pragmatic approach to the result. What was your reaction when it came through yesterday?
Look, I was initially surprised because he presents as a very sound horse. He's only sort of a light bone little fella, but he's you know, very sound in trot-ups, and we've never had any need to sort of investigate things much further with him than that. But Grace Forbes told me about the CT scan, and the results were sent to three independent vets, and but certainly two of the three were of the opinion that he shouldn't be running. And I spoke to Chris Whitten at the University of Melbourne, who's really probably a world expert on orthopaedics in horses, and someone I've got a lot of respect for. And Chris explained that he did have a lesion in his off full fetlock that probably wouldn't even show up on an X-ray, but it was there, and those lesions can be prefracture warnings. So he thought that certainly the safest way for the horse was to not run in this year's cup and give that lesion a chance to fill in and strengthen up. And he thought maybe 8 or 10 weeks in the paddock for a horse like him, and then we'll rescan and see where it's got to. So I'm very comfortable with the process, and as I said, I've got a lot of respect for Grace and for Chris, and we don't want to be running a horse that there's any chance he mightn't be able to perform at his best, and more importantly, that he might have a catastrophic injury.
So when you say a lesion, just to try and put it in layman's terms for listeners out there, does that mean there's a weakness in maybe the bone area? Is that what it is determining?
That's what I understand it to be. So maybe a little bit of a decalcification area in the bone, which is not as strong as what the rest of the bone should be. Now, with rest, that bone can regenerate and strengthen up. So, the horses that they've done the post-mortems on with the fractures, like Anthony Bond died last year, they've seen a consistent pattern in some of these weaker areas of bone that have pre-existed the actual catastrophic fracture.
So it could be a great relief. You could have actually dodged a pretty nasty bullet.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, ultimately, I think you could probably run a horse like him 90 times out of 100 in the cup and he'd be fine. But we've got the technology now, and both Racing Victoria and the VRC have really decided that the Melbourne Cup's going to be the safest race run in the globe each year. And I think we've all got to get behind it. And we're lucky that they're putting such resources towards making that occur.
Well, unfortunately, it means that young Werther won't be in the cup for you and connections, but you've got a good hand heading throughout cup week, especially in the Oaks. And speaking to at the Melbourne Cup launch yesterday morning, you've made the decision to focus your fillies on the Oaks, not have a crack at the Derby. What's the main reasoning behind that?
Well, look, it's very rarely done. In fact, I can't think in my lifetime that a filly does run in the Derby here, with the obvious reason that the Wakeford and the Oaks are on at the same time. We did contemplate it with El Patroness. She won the Superimpose and was very good running second in the Caulfield Classic, but it was more if we went to the Derby and ran top five but didn't win it, we'd be kicking ourselves with the Wakeford and the Oaks being run the same week. So we've decided to stick to the fillies and give her opportunity there.
She is by the all-conquering Seamus Award. You must be proud of what Seamus Award's been doing this spring carnival.
Yeah, and I'm really pleased. And I've been breeding to him every year and bred actually our patroness with a good friend, Jonathan Rosham. So, we've got a few more Seamuses to come through, and he's going to be a lot more popular now with breeders. So the next 5 to 10 years for Seamus are looking really exciting.
The Oaks I suppose favouritism swapped over when they both ran at Caulfield with El Patronus and also Kapalua Sunset. Kapalua had a forgettable race and El Patronus ran really well against the boys and the Norman Robinson. Where does your, I suppose, allegiance lie with who you think's your best chance in the Oaks between the two fillies?
Look, I think at this stage El Patronus is the bomb-proof version of everything at the moment. You know, she's been able to cop a pretty tough preparation and she's thrived on it, and you know, she worked again super this morning, so she's the one that you can probably rely on the most. But you know, we were very impressed with Capital of Sunset at Kyneton, and as you said, nothing went right for her at Caulfield. The good thing is she didn't have a very hard run at all at Caulfield, and it seems to have improved her. So she also worked this morning. We're really pleased with her condition. We just need her to bounce back hard there in the Wakeford on Saturday to put herself right back in calculations for the Oaks on Thursday.
Which one's Brett going to ride?
So Brett will stay on El Patronus, and Damien Oliver had a sit on Kapalua this morning, and he'll ride Kapalua.
Okay. You also had Superstorm working out there this morning leading into the Kennedy Cantala. How did he work?
He worked particularly well. Yeah, he's a horse that's thrived all spring, and he's been super consistent. You know, he won the Fee and he ran third in the Underwood, and I ran another cracking race third in the Toorak, which I think was a really high rating event this year. So I think Flemington, the big track at the mile in a race with good tempo, I think Buffalo River, et cetera, in there, it sets up as a real opportunity for him to win his first Group 1.
It'll be a big day for the team, as it always is. Looking on from the sidelines now, although Miami Bound is still a chance to go around in the Lexus Melbourne Cup after her run in the Moonee Valley Cup last week. Does she need wet conditions to A, run, and B, competitive?
Look, at this stage she will run, but yeah, she certainly would prefer it wet. But yeah, given the way the field is going to thin out a bit, we thought she was a genuine chance to run in that top 10 to 12. And she seems very well and she's very fit, so we'll be running Miami Bound.
Have you locked in a jockey for Miami Bound?
Not as yet.
Okay. What's your thoughts on Incentivise? You're the last trainer to have an Australian-bred winner. What have your thoughts been on watching him in his all-conquering run leading into the Cup?
I think he's just been exceptional. You know, what he was doing in Queensland, you know, winning a Group 3 race up there by 12 lengths was you know, just something you just don't see. And then at unsuitable distances, possibly in the Maccabi and even the Turnbull, he was just too good. And then you know, he really went to another level when he got to the 2400. So really exciting to see what he might do now at 2 Mile. It seems like a trip that won't hold any fears for him. And, you know, he's exactly what racing in Australia needs. You know, we have, over the journey, produced some world-class, you know, mile-and-a-half horses that probably don't come along as often as we'd like, and certainly nowhere near as often as in the UK. But, you know, we don't have to go back too far to the Might and Powers and Maccabi Divas that at 2400 would have held their own anywhere in the world. And, you know, we're all hoping that maybe Incentivise is potentially a horse of that level.
Are you seeing a slight change in owners' want to get involved with some more Australian-bred middle distance to staying types?
I think there's an appetite there. You know, Jonathan Ross and myself buy 3 or 4 yearling fillies every year at the sales to try and find those middle distance fillies, you know, for the Oaks races, and we've done that with some success at Miami Bound and obviously Capital Sunset this year. So you know, that syndicate's very much focused on buying middle distance horses. And you know, there's nothing more exciting than having runners in Cup Week in either the Oaks or the Derby. You know, they're two big marquee races at Cup Week, and you know, when you do get to Cup Week, every owner wishes they had a runner. So it's not that much more complicated than buying the 2-year-old. You just have to wait probably another 6 to 9 months. But you know, they're there, and you just got to go out and find them, and then obviously take that little bit longer with them.
Danny, best of luck, especially in the Oaks and the Wakeful in the Cup Week.
Thanks very much, Michael.